Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
the Lord has made.
and we choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. This morning, we thank God for being a mind fixer and a heart regulator. We thank God for being establisher of faith and of power. Yes, he is the true, and he is the living God. Yes, he does have all power in his hand. For the word of God tells us that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, for there is nothing that God cannot do, nothing that God, and no way that what you go into today that it is considered too hard. I want you to know today that today is a day. Today a day of thanksgiving. Today is a day of praises, a day that we can magnify him, a day that we can lift him up. For the word of God say, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. So today we want to draw men and women, boys and girls, to the Most High God. We're getting ready right now to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. But first of all, we're getting ready to go through the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Thank you, Father, for being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, God, for being the Alpha and Omega. Thank you, Father, for being the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. Thank you, Father, for being able, God, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask of faith. Thank you, God, today, because there is nothing too hard for you to do. And Father, for this, we will glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, we thank thee. Amen and amen. Somebody ought to say amen. We would like to welcome our radio audience as well as Word of Faith to this ministry where God is doing great and mighty things. For the unadulterated, uncompromising word is being manifested in this day and at this hour. Why don't you get your Bible this day? Why don't you get your Bible this morning? And why don't you just hold them up high? And why don't you repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says that I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. At this time, we want you to get ready for the word of God. Why don't you get your Bibles and open them up now and open it to the first Samuel, that first chapter, the first chapter of Samuel. And we want you to get ready to hear what thus says the word of God on this morning. You know, when you read the word of God, you're reading it that you can be made better. You're reading the word of God that you can get revelation. You're reading the word of God that you can get clarity. You're reading the word of God that you can get understanding. For the word of God says for us to meditate upon the word of God day and night. Don't you remember Joshua telling us in the Old Testament to meditate on the word day and night? Well, it's time for us to meditate on the word. It's time for us to study the word. For the word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. It's time for us to be free. It's time for us to come out of bondage. It's time for us to walk in the newness of life. It's time for old things to pass away and all things become new. It's time for us to be alive in him. So So this morning, we're going to be preaching from 1 Samuel. And when we look at 1 Samuel, we want you to look at it as well. And just don't look at it the way that you looked at it before, but you look as God is speaking to you. Look and listen as to what God is saying to his people on this morning. I'm going to begin to read, beginning at that first verse. Now there was a certain man, a Ramathoth Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Ethaniah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elu, the son of Tuhu, the son of Zuhu, and Ephanite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Ethaniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And the word tells us, and this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts, so in Shiloh, and two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time that was that Ethaniah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portion. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, but he loved it, Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We praise you, God, again this morning. Thank you for the word. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for the interpretation of your word. And Father, we just ask you, God, even now, let the word of God be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, that word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, when we look at the word of God, when we look at 1 Samuel, we see here that the man of God who was a priest, Ethaniah, at that time had two wives. And I don't want you to get mixed up, and I don't want you to get the spirit of confusion on you, because that was their custom, that the thing that they did at that period of time. But that is not what we do in this day and this time. God has given us one husband, and God has given us one wife. So therefore, here in the word of God, it tells us that at this time, they had, Ethaniah had two wives, and one of them was Peninnah, and the other was Hannah. Well, God had closed Hannah's womb. God let us see in the word of God that Peninnah had children, but Hannah didn't have any children. And as we have read before, the word of God so distinctly tell us that the Lord had closed up this woman's womb. Can you imagine having a husband having two wives, and one wife is barren, and the other wife is not barren, and therefore, could you imagine how, if that woman wanted a child, and she had to look at the other woman with the children being born year by year, and that she had to see those children in the husband's lap and running around the house and making a joke of crying for all to see. But then there was a woman that God, I know that God loved her. I know that Ethaniah loved his wife, because the word of God tells us he did. But yet when we look at the word of God, this woman was barren. She did not have any children. And then the word of God tells us that this woman, she wept at different times, because of the fact she wanted a child. Sometimes things in our life stress us out because of the fact that we're not being satisfied, because there's lacking in our life. But when we began to look at the word of God, Ethaniah did not slight this woman. He did not slight Hannah, because he loved her, and he had given her Eve,
of greater portion. Say greater portion. But then when we look at the word of God, we see that the adversary was after Hannah. Don't you know when you are in the will of God, don't you know sometimes that you'll go through trials and you'll go through tribulation and sometimes it seems like you're suffering. Sometimes you're going through hard times. Why? Because of the fact that the enemy is coming after you. The enemy is trying to discourage you. The enemy is trying to make you feel like you're worthless, like you, that you're not an even contributor, that you're not satisfying your husband, and you're not being able to bear it, or you're not doing whatever that they think that you may be doing. And it doesn't all necessarily have to be a child. It can be a job. It can be your education. It can be what you're trying to accomplish in life. But when we began to look at the word of God, we see how Hannah, she fretted. Why? She, because the enemy, the woman, the other woman that was in the house was just like an enemy to her. Have you ever been living with an enemy? Enemy inside of the house, an enemy that's in the same place. Enemy, when you walk in, when you wake up in the morning, there's an enemy in the house. Don't leave you any good, not there to lift you up, not there to give you accolades, not there to encourage you, but a bear to let you know that, hey, you're not a fruit bearer. Hey, I got children. Oh, I got this and that. Somebody may say it's not the children, but I got a home. You don't have one. You got to have education. You don't have one. I got a husband. You don't have one. But the enemy, that was the enemy that was trying to make her fret. The enemy was coming against her. But yet, it was all for God's good to work in her, to mature her, to make her be that woman, to allow her to bring out the best in her. Sometimes God wants to bring the best out of us. We don't know why we're going through things in our life, but yet God want to bring out the best in us. We don't know why we're going, why we're suffering for this reason or that, but you know, when we began to think of the word of God say, even as he has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. Don't think, brothers and sisters, don't think, ladies and gentlemen, that you're not going to go through things in your life. Don't think that you're not going to have some difficult days in your life. Oh, yes, you will have some difficult days in your life. The word of God again said, why? The word of God let us know that Jesus, if Jesus suffered in the flesh, we have to arm ourselves likewise to suffer, to go through some things, to experience some difficulties in our life. Jesus went through it. What makes us think that we're better than Jesus? What makes us think that we don't have to suffer? What makes us think that we don't have to be persecuted? Nobody want to be persecuted. Nobody want to be put down. Nobody want to be laughed at. No, nobody wants to go through all of these things, because yet, you know, we're crucifying the flesh, yet we're going through things. And sometimes God has to crucify our flesh. Sometimes we have to put our flesh into subjection. Well, the woman, Hannah, she went through some trying times. Somebody ought to say trying times, because she went through some trying time. And if you were reading that sixth verse of the first chapter of Samuel, it would tell us that the word of God said, and her adversary also provoked her sword. Have you ever been provoked before? Have you ever, somebody made you to fret, and they did it because her womb was shut up, and God is the one that shut her womb up. And the word tells us, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked to her. The word let us know that the other woman, so you don't need but two women, you don't need two women in one house. A husband don't need but one wife. A wife don't need but one husband. One husband is enough to handle. One wife is enough to handle. But Naya, she took advantage of her position as being a wife that was able to bear. And so, therefore, she came against this woman, and this woman, Hannah, began to fret. She began to cry because of the fact that she could not have any children. So let us break it down. Let us get where we're going at this morning. Because the fact that she couldn't have any children, then that's when the enemy came and came against her in part of the tear up her vision, to tear up her inward part of her to make her think that she was left in. Have you ever had anybody to make you feel that, again, that you are less than? Well, she played this game, and she did this wickedness to a woman that she should love, that she should respect, that she should have been there for her, that she should have been an encouragement to her. But no, she took advantage because of the fact that she had what she thought would have taken, or what it had, that what her husband wanted. So Hannah was going year by year, had to go through the pain, the discouragement. But then when the word of God tells us that later, that when they had gone, like they usually go, in order to worship, the word of God let us know that Hannah began to make her petition, began to pray before the Lord. She began to cry before the Lord. You know, it's good to be able to pray. God's word says that man should pray and not faint. It's time for us to stop a weeping. We know we got the tear ducts, and we know we cry at times. Everybody cries sometimes. But there's a time in our life that we got to stop crying. It's a time that we got to mature and endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And when we look at the word of God, the woman began to think about and to meditate, and she began to pray. And she, in the word of God, tells us how she began to make a petition before the Lord. Let's read there, and please read with me again on the ninth verse. This will be the first time that we're reading the ninth verse. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept. And she vowed, come on now, you got to hear what I'm saying this morning. She vowed a vow unto the Lord of hosts. If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of my handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that that's when Eli began to mock her mouth. He thought that the woman was drunk. Sometimes when you get before the Lord, you're not caring about who around you. When you really mean what you're saying, you're not trying to pray those cute prayers. You're not trying to say those words that somebody is going to marvel at. But you getting down to business, and you want God to move on your behalf. You're desperate, and yet you're willing to commit yourself. You're willing that the flesh die. You're willing that you overcome the fleshly mind, and that you will give up whatever necessary for God to do this thing in your life. So Hannah, she prayed a prayer. Come on, she prayed a prayer. the Most High God. She asked God not for a daughter. Daughter would have been great. Daughter, I'm quite sure, would have been beautiful. Nice to have a daughter, but that's not what she wanted at first. She wanted a male child. She wanted a male child, and she was going to give that male child back to God. She said that he was going to be like a Nazarite, and he wasn't going to drink there wasn't going to be a razor upon his head. And she was going to give him unto the Lord. And so when we continually to read the Word of God, the Word of God said, let's go down here unto the 14th verse. And Eli said unto her, how long will thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. She wasn't drinking. She wasn't intoxicated. But she wasn't drunk. But she was earnestly seeking the face of God. Come on, come on. It may look like sometimes that when you pray that you may be, look like you may be drunk. But you're not drunk. You're drunk in the spirit of anything. And Hannah answered, said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor a strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Have you ever poured out your soul before the Lord? Have you ever given God your all in all? Sometimes we are not able to give our all in all until we have got to a point that we've gone through some things in our life, that we've been tried in our life, and we're able to go through some things in our life. Sometimes we want God to give us this and give us that, but yet it is not God's time for us to get whatever we're praying for when we pray. But we have to believe God and know that God is a provider and that God will give whatever we need in due time. Come on now. So the word says that she told the priest, she said, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Baal, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hereunto. She's not a daughter of Baal. The devil, no, she is a daughter of God. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked him. Oh my God, she knew that she had heard a word from the Lord. She's the priest of God, and she believed God because she made a vow. I tell you again, ladies and gentlemen, as I have said before, that don't make any vows to God that you are not going to keep. This woman of God, she decided that I'm going to give up my child. I may be able to, she made agreement that she'll be able to give this child back unto God. But she weaned that child because God did answer her prayer, and she kept her word. She was no longer barren, but she had the child that she longed for. What is it that you're longing for today? What is it that you want today? What is it that you want God to move on your behalf for today? Hallelujah. You got to believe God. You got to stand on God's word. You got to weather the storm. Yes, sometimes storms happen. Yes, sometimes we get some storm in our life. And then you know as well as I that sometimes when storms come, they look like they're dreadful. They look like they're going to do damage. But I believe that God is a God that will cover us. He's a God that will keep us. He's a God that will not leave us. He's a God that will not forsake us. So when we look at the word of God, we see that Hannah made this vow before God. God heard her prayer. The priest was in agreement with her petition, and he let her know that thy petition that thou hast asked of him, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition. And when he did so, the woman of God rose up in the morning early, and she worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to her house. And then the word of God let us know that the woman, as I said before, she was able to have that, a child. And it wasn't a girl, it was a boy that desired that she wanted. She wanted a boy. And the Lord opened her womb, and the woman had, come on. Yes, she went through some things. Come on. Sometimes we don't want to suffer. Sometimes we don't want to go through things in life. But yet, we got to know the God that we serve and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. It may take some while because we're not ready. It may take some time of maturity. It takes the time for God to make us and God to give us that mind and give us that heart and that we'll be able to walk right and remove some of the things in our heart that is not right. But yet God, it didn't say that he wasn't going to give it to her, even in the earlier scripture, but it did tell us that he had closed up her womb. But yet, when she decided that I want this child so desperately and I'm ready to give him up, I'm ready to give him back to you. I'm ready, God, for just the fact that, no, God, that you let me carry this child and that you let me hold this child. But God, I give it back for you so you can use him for your glory. And yes, the woman had the child. She kept him until she weaned him, and she took him to Eli to work for God, to be one of the men, one of the young men that work in the temple. Look at God. Look at God. And I want you to know that she didn't just birth a birth. And I think all babies are precious. And thank God for them. But this was a prophet of God that she was carrying. Come on. She was carrying a prophet. Don't you know that if she would have been willing in her heart to surrender, to give this child back to God for the service of God, she would not, most mothers would say, no, I've tried for a long time to have my child. No, I'm not giving him back. What did I look like giving him back? But this child, this woman, decided, God, I give him back to you. I'll give him back to you. She made a vow that she'll give him back for God, for him to use. And she kept her word. And you know what? By she keeping her word, that Hannah not only had Samuel, but she had other children as well, because she honored Lord God. And she went through some things. And she went through a time of testing. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that we all go through some testing times. Yes, if you are a Christian, if you are a woman, a man of God, you're going to go through some trying times sometime in your life. Every day is not going to be rosy. Every day is not, the sun is not going to be shining. But you're going to have to stand on God's word while he works things out, while he works things out in you, and while he's allowing you to put on the whole armor, put on the helmet of salvation, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and put and shine in our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, or whatever God is doing in us to make us usable, come out for his glory. She had to be prepared. She had to get to that place that she would turn over God's property unto God. And God rewarded her. This was, you know who Samuel is. You know who the prophet Samuel is. He was a prophet of God. God honor and God using Samuel did not play. But today we got to honor God, and we got to know that he is God, and that he is God all by himself. We want you to know that you too, even as the one of God had gone through some things in her life, you too will experience things that you don't want to go through. There have been a many women, a many men that have gone through things in their lives, but God made them the better because they went through. She could stop crying in a sense that she don't have to cry about that anymore. Why? She got what she wanted. But she had to be pleasing in God's sight. And to get to that point that she was going to give that child back unto the Lord. Our Father, in the name of Jesus,
Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Dear God, we thank you, Father, again for the word of God that have come to your people. And God, we thank you, Father, that the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our pathway. And Father, that word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Have your way today. God, move on the inside of us. God, move on the inside of your people, city to city, state to state. Cause them, Father God, to be alive in you. Cause them, God, to know and realize, God, that you are still God, that you are the Alpha and Omega, that you are the beginning and the end, and that you are the first and the last, and that, God, that you are the true and the living God. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for bringing them this far by faith. Thank you for energizing them and strategizing them, God. Thank you, Father, for taking them into a place, Father, in you, Father God, that is secure and that is safe. And, Father, we thank you and we praise your name. Now, Lord, if there's any that are not saved on this morning, that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and Omega, Lord, the Savior of souls, Lord, I ask thee in the name of Jesus to touch their hearts and cause their hearts to yield their hearts to you even now. And, Father, we just ask thee, God, because your word says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raised from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. And for this we will bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Word of Faith Praise and Worship Center, which is located at 5045 Soutel Drive here in the Bowling Beautiful City of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please visit us. Come and hear the Word of Truth. For the Word of God says, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free.